to discuss the situation, while Iranian officials today said there's no need to put the 15 captives on trial. A top Iranian official also says his country wants a diplomatic solution. U.S. officials asked Iran for information about a former FBI agent who was reported missing while on a business trip there. Retired for nearly a decade, the man's been missing.
Is next.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush today is scheduled to hold a press conference to address funding of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Congress is poised to send the White House legislation providing an additional $96 billion in war appropriations. Troop withdrawal in Iraq is tacked onto that measure, however. The president has vowed a veto. The U.S. has turned over a dozen suspected Taliban imprisoned in Guantanamo Bay to Afghan authorities. The Pentagon is transferring all Afghanis in custody to the government in Kabul. Negotiations between the U.K. and Iran continue today. Prime Minister Tony Blair says he's optimistic diplomacy will win the release of 15 British troops captured 13 days ago in the Persian Gulf. In Iraq, an Iranian diplomat abducted 2 months ago near Baghdad has been released. An Iraqi official said the man was taken into custody by Iraqi intelligence agents. U.S. officials have asked Iran for information about a former FBI agent who disappeared last month while on a private business trip in the country. The State Department says the situation is unrelated to the current crisis with British troops. In Tehran, officials say they are actively seeking the return of 5 Iranian men arrested by the U.S. military in northern Iraq in January. The U.S. claimed the men were assisting Iraqi insurgents. The Iranians' whereabouts have not been released. And the Solomon Islands rescue crews continue to comb through the debris of yesterday's 8.1 earthquake and subsequent tsunami. 28 are confirmed dead. Thousands are homeless. In its first ruling addressing climate change, the U.S. Supreme Court has ordered the Bush administration to take action to enforce the Federal Clean Air Act. In a 5-4 decision, the High Court declared greenhouse gases are pollutants, and therefore the EPA should take steps to regulate their control. In Washington, 3 airline pilots have petitioned a federal appeals court to permit them to continue flying past the current retirement age of 60. The FAA has announced it will eventually amend regulations to raise the mandatory retirement age to 65. The pilots work for the Arizona-based U.S. Airways. In Sacramento, California, prosecutors say they won't file criminal charges in the case of a 28-year-old woman who died of water intoxication after competing in a water drinking contest sponsored by an FM radio station. Attorneys said the actions of the radio staff did not constitute criminal behavior. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
France's TGV train set a new rail speed record today, exceeding 357 miles per hour. The overall world train speed record was set in 2003 by Japan's Maglev train, which operates by magnetic levitation. That record is nearly 361 miles per hour. Two black Labrador retrievers trained to sniff out pirated goods tracked down 50,000 bootleg DVDs in a Malaysian warehouse. 5 people were arrested as a result. The dogs have been so successful in recent months, criminals have put a price on the animals' heads. U.S. manufacturing expanded at a slower rate than expected in March. Nevertheless, the cost of raw materials, including metals, fuel, and paper goods, increased significantly. New Century Financial, a prime subprime lender, has filed for bankruptcy. The company yesterday laid off half of its staff, 3,200 employees. The European Commission has launched an antitrust investigation into Apple's iTunes. Distribution agreements between Apple and record labels may violate EU regulations governing competition. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.91 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 49 points, the NASDAQ up 11, the S&P 500 up 5. You can find more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Wake the hell up. It's time for another day of programming on the Head On Radio Network, and I'm here to start you out. Well, first, we got to get you out. We got to do some calisthenics. So, everybody, jumping jacks. One, two, one, two. Come on, do it. I see you over there. You're not doing your jumping jacks. I got my eye on you. Now, squat thrusts, which is the most sexually explicit name I've ever heard for an exercise. Squat thrust. Who the hell thought of that one up? Who the hell? What do we call it? We'll call it a squat thrust. Don't you think everybody will be giggling at that name for ages? No, they're all mature, reasonable people. Smack! Squat thrust. Good morning, everybody. Once again, I am Joe Vecchio. I am the voice of the working man, stinking man, and it is another day of programming here on the Head On Radio Network. Where was I? You know, you stop for a second and you lose your train of thought. There's so much news, there's so many things going on, as always, that it's hard for me to try to focus on one thing in particular. And I was listening to the advertisement, or as our good friend John Fox from Australia would say, the advert. It took me a while to understand that. I was just listening to British comedy records, and they would say advert, and I'm like, what's an advert? It's an advertisement. Oh. But I was listening to the advertisement about You Can't Beat the Press book, and I was thinking that one possible use for the book is to throw at the television screen whenever you see the local news comes on. Just shut up! Shut up! I'm sick of it! And that's basically where everybody is with this. I was in the Bart Cop chat room last night talking with my good friend the Thane of Fascistan, who I was staying with when I first got here to Chicago, and he pointed me to a link to yet another Bill O'Reilly disgrace. He had a retired colonel on who was an expert in the Geneva Convention, and he was talking about the Iranian kidnapping of the 15 British guys, which we're now learning that is retaliation for the Americans kidnapping a bunch of Iranian diplomats for no reason, and of course hiding them in undisclosed locations. And the colonel was attempting to make the point, you know, and you know, the O'Reilly was saying, "See, the UN has called this disgraceful. Do you agree with this?" And she was like, "Well, yeah, I agree with it, but, you know, it's really, you know, we have to set a better example, and we shouldn't be doing, you know, this sort of thing." I said, "Oh, I saw it. You're blaming America now. You're blaming America now. I knew this was going to happen. Cut her mic," and he cut her off. And this was a colonel in the U.S. military who was an expert in the Geneva Conventions. In fact, taught about the Geneva Conventions on the base. And of course, she wasn't having any of it. She was saying, "Look, you know, there are consequences." No, you hate America. Somebody throw a book at that guy. Somebody throw the book at that guy. We were talking in the the chat room the other night, we were just, and it just, because we get so frustrated every now and then, that you just want to see something happen. You know, you want to see, I want to see a Nuremberg trial, and I want to see Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Gonzalez and Scalia, and I want to see all these people in the dock being charged with war crimes, and I want to see Bill O'Reilly, guys like him and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, I want to see them in there too, because what they're doing is criminal. Excuse me. I mean, there's the what's that guy's name from Der Sturm? The Nazi guy who wasn't a member of the Nazi government, but he was the chief newspaper guy, and he was one of the chief propaganda outlets. And they put him on the docket and they hung him. They executed him. And there were days where I just wish it would get to that point, and I wonder if it is ever going to get to that point. And you realize, and you look at things, and you think that, my God, these people are going to get away with it. And I don't want them to get away with it. I mean, crime should be punished. And not just, you know, not trumped up crap crime like they did with Bill Clinton, you know, but getting him on a stand under oath and then, you know, finding something to find him with perjury and playing it up like it's oh so serious and oh it's a big constitutional threat, and it wasn't, and it was so obvious. And you couldn't get the press to understand that then, and you can't get the press to understand now that our anger has actual justification. And that they all, especially the big twerps up on top, the guys like the George Wills and the David Broders, who's going to say, well, this is just politics. These guys just hate George Bush. You know something? We hate you. Because you created us. If you don't like what I'm saying on my show, if you don't like what you're reading in the blogs, you know what? You created us. Because you're doing such a piss-poor job of covering the news. And you are. I was reading Glenn Greenwald on Salon today, and he was talking, and this is the type of thing I'm talking about. They were asking some of the Republican candidates about, you know, the idea of locking up people without any charges and stuff like that. And of course Giuliani, you know, is trying to present himself as the moderate guy. He's like, well, you know, I would use that power infrequently. You shouldn't have that power at all. And you're a lawyer, you ought to know that, but you don't care. You get to be president. Or excuse me, Rickle, you get to be president. Hey, he's the president. What the heck? And, you know, then you got Mitt Romney. I'm more conservative than you. And now Tommy Thompson, another schmuck, has entered the field. And there's Fred Thompson, the movie actor or TV actor. Of course, you know, that's just what type of people the Republican like. Somebody that looks good on the screen. And they thought they had that way with George W., but he looks like an idiot. And if it wasn't for 9/11, you know, he never would have gotten reelected. He might have gotten, I don't consider that he got reelected anyway, but he'd be lucky to, not have been impeached the first time around, because people were already starting to realize that, you know, maybe this guy wasn't what he's saying. Then 9/11 happened, and everybody started to pee their pants, and they were peeing their pants so much it damaged their brain cells that they couldn't think straight. One of Newton's laws, one of the laws of physics, states that every action has an equal and opposite reaction, and you see that in politics quite often. And I've talked about, you know, these guys being fascists, and to a certain extent they are, because they use a lot of the same tactics, but they haven't gone quite so far yet, because they're not out killing me. Nobody's banging down my door just yet. It's possible that may never happen, but then again, I don't want to find out. I want to stop them before they get to that point. They're certainly capable of leaving people to die like they're doing on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. They're certainly capable of just murdering innocent people who just happen to be in their way. And people who are capable of that are eventually capable of anything. And what you're capable of is giving me a phone call to talk to me about stuff like this. The number to call is 1-877-443-2366, 877-4, head on. Give me a call, talk about it. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II, that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4. Head on. I'm on an open book today. Give me a call about anything that you want to talk about. I'm up for anything. I was looking through the news, and after the QNN report, I did a little quick look about in the news about the high speed rail train that broke 357 miles an hour. That's a rail train. Now, the record, according to QNN and according to the news site, is for the maglev train of Japan that went 361 miles an hour. Man, you know, in a better world, in a better world in this country, or a better country at least, we would have jumped on the initiative of high-speed rail as a supplement to air travel and as an alternative to vehicle travel, which is the primary source of travel in this country for people going back and forth. But I would just love to be able to walk out of my house here, go down, you know, walk four blocks to the bus station, take the bus to the L, take the L down to Union Station, then take a bullet train from, say, Chicago to New York nonstop. It would only take a few hours. At 361 miles an hour would only be, what, about a 3 or 4 hour ride to New York, if that? I don't know the distance. And then get on the subway in New York and go and visit my sister. Or maybe take a bullet train down to Orlando. We'll stop in Atlanta first. We'll go to Atlanta and I'll visit my kids. And then I'll go to Orlando and just get off the train and get onto another bus or another, you know, another, maybe like a small light rail train or something, and head right on to my destination. I would love that. It would be great, and it would be great for most people in this country, too. But it gets, But it gets hard to do that when you get so many people who are used to living in the suburbs and having their vehicles wasting gas and traffic going to work every day. Because mostly if you live in a big city, especially if you live in Atlanta, which bitches the most about public transportation and has the worst public transportation of any big city I've ever seen, and they sit there in traffic every single freaking day, and now gas is going up like crazy. I was told that in the San Francisco area, it hit $4 a gallon. And it's gone up to about $3 a gallon again here. $3 a gallon is a lot of money to pay for gas. That means if you got a 15-gallon tank of gas, it's costing you $45 to fill it up. $45. That's remarkable. That's absolutely remarkable. And we put up with it for now. And Chicago has the second largest public transportation system in the country, second only to New York City. They're doing a lot of massive work on it right now, which is driving everybody crazy. They're calling it Hell Week because it's just starting and people have to get used to it. They're basically shutting down one of the tracks so they can work on it. And, you know, this is very late in coming. They have a very old public transportation system here. It goes back 100 years they started it. So, but anyway, I really hope for it, but I really hope we get some sort of train transportation, but quite frankly, I don't think I'll see it in my lifetime. I honestly doubt it. The way things are going in this country, it's going to take so long, not just to get these SOBs out of power, but to change the entire mindset of the country, which is what you need to do. You got to get people off of this car mentality. I'm sorry. I just get so frustrated, I get speechless, which is bad for a radio talk show guy, I suppose. But I do get so frustrated that it's just mind-boggling to me that people put up. And you know that there's people out there right now, and going back to a news item I mentioned yesterday, there's people out there right now who agree with John McCain that it's perfectly safe to go in Iraq. It's perfectly safe. And you know, you just want to go there and you want to take a sledgehammer and you just want to pound them and pound them and pound them until some truth gets into them. It's not safe. Everything is not perfectly all right with the country. It's not good that Circuit City is letting go experienced workers and having them reapply for their jobs in 10 weeks at lower salaries. This is not good. And the people who laugh at it, who think, yeah, we'll teach those working boys, we'll teach them. Just like they laughed when Reagan fired all the air traffic controllers. Cutting their own throats in the long run. Because when you cut union power, when you cut the ability, when you take away the ability of working people to stand up for themselves, this is what happens. The people at United Airlines who lost basically half of their pension while the CEOs of the company ran amok and took the money. The people who work for Polaroid who got about $200 pension total after Polaroid folded. Hang on. And now we're seeing places like, well, Walmart already kind of started it. Walmart was finding ways to get rid of people who were, have been there for a while and were finally making some decent money so they can fire them or get them to quit and hire somebody to work for a lot less than that. And God forbid we raise the minimum wage. The Democrats passed a bill on it, but it hasn't taken effect because, you know, that there's still a lot of opposition to it. God forbid we can help that. We can help the people, even though a lot of people aren't even making minimum wage. Well, I'm sure that the people that are, obviously it's no way to make a living. I make twice minimum wage, almost, and I still can't make ends meet. And it's outrageous. And they don't understand. They don't understand that you can't continually do this to people. You can't just turn them into peasants, especially when they're used to not being that way. Although some of them are. I've met a lot of people who just think that we ought to just keep our mouths shut and do what our betters tell us to do, which is stupid. But as I point out every single day on this show, what you have to do is imagine that the Bush administration, the Republican leadership, its corporate allies, are in your house right now with a gun to your head and robbing you, because that's what they're doing. They do it 24/7. And then they're taking your sons and your daughters, they're honoring and then praising them, then they're putting a gun to their head and blowing their brains out right in front of you, because that's what they're doing to our soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan. This is what they do, because the only thing that's real to them, the only time you give them a sense of reality, is when it comes to money. And the only defense you have for them doing that are your fellow workers, your fellow citizens, all standing in the same room with guns of their own, pointing it to their heads. Now, in a society where the wealth distribution is a little more evenly flowed, are the people on top going to make some less money? Yes. My question is, you got a problem with that? What, you know, $100 million a year isn't enough for you? You know, sit there and whine because you're only getting $100 million instead of $2 million, $200 million, or $50 million instead of $100 million, or $2 million instead of $1 million, or $1 million instead of $2 million. It doesn't matter. Once you get past a certain point, what do you need the money for? I think CEO salaries ought to be regulated, and congressional salaries, while we're at it, ought to be tied to the minimum wage. And you see SOBs like Donald Trump, and it really hacks me off seeing Donald Trump acting like he did it all himself. Let's not forget that Mr. Trump inherited a few million dollars of his own. He didn't get there by himself. Now, maybe you give me $3 million. Maybe I'm not going to turn it into $10 billion. But you know what? I'm not going to have to worry about where I'm going to work. And yet he gets to be a TV star on top of everything else and get a lot of money for that. It just makes me sick. Let's take a break. If you want to call in, the number is 1-877-443-2323. 866-1-8774. Head on. We're halfway through. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here in the Head On Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network. The following is a Head On Radio Network special announcement. I'm back! That's right, the rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Foxed Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. And yes, as that advertisement says, John Fox will be back. And I believe I was told yesterday that that's starting tomorrow. Is that correct, Agnes? Is that correct, that that's starting tomorrow? And of course, today we have Jeff Allen Wolf following up. And, you know, this is just the norm for radio stations where the schedules change and stuff like that. When I first started with Head On, I was working on the weekends, and I was in the early afternoon, and now I'm here in the morning. And actually, you know, even though I'm not a morning person, it does kind of fit, you know, my name being Cup of Joe, even though the thing about it is I just picked that because my name is Joe, and it has nothing to do with coffee, because I can't stand coffee. When I want to get some wake-up juice, I get some Mountain Dew, which I know is very bad for you, and I don't drink as much as I used to. I'm down to 3 2-liters a day. No, I'm just kidding. But at any rate, John Fox, starting tomorrow, will be on following my show. And that's a good thing, because John Fox is a great guy. And he's down there in Australia where, you know, he's the only one who's not named Bruce. The only non-Sheila that's not named Bruce. Where's Bruce? Where are you, Bruce? Father, he's not here, Bruce. Blimey, it's hot in here, Bruce. Hot enough to boil a monkey's bum. That's a strange expression, Bruce. little Monty Python there. Oh, man. Where the hell was I? I was getting angry and, you know, yeah. I was reading Avedon Carroll's The Sideshow this morning. One of the better websites. One of the better blogs out there. Now, you know, and she's what they call a B-list blogger, because she doesn't get quite so many hits. The A-list are guys like, you know, Atrios and Daily Coast. And, you know, they're always arguing with, not with each other so much, but people are always arguing with them about, hey, you took me off your blog roll, and oh, it's got a kick and hits, and oh, gazabba. You know, I have my share of complaints about how the blogosphere works. And I, you know, I complain about the lack of hits and lack of traffic I get to my site. But the fact of the matter is, I really don't offer that much for people to come in on a regular basis. And quite frankly, I've been so stressed out over real life issues, I haven't been able to write properly for quite some time. But Avedon Carroll is one of the better ones, and she's what I call an information warehouse, because she doesn't always give editorial opinions. But she does link to a lot of different news items. Although the editorial opinion she gives is good. And she was talking about Ms. Tunsing, T-O-E-N-S-I-N-G, and about, you know, how she's become the mouthpiece for the Bush administration about the outing of Valerie Plame. And Avedon Carroll looked her up, and it turns out that she was the one, and I had forgotten about this. She was basically a professional victim, bitching and moaning about how the Clintons were attacking them all the time, doing this and doing that. So, but, you know, that's just the way the right wing works. They take these morons, and they take these crazy people, and they get them on the air. Whereas we have rational, intelligent people and put them on the air, just like our good friend Kevin from Washington, D.C., who's on the phone right now. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Hi. How you doing?
Pretty good. We kind of snuck up on you there.
Yeah. I agree with you with the train, you know, with the high-speed trains, because when I was in Japan, I used to go from Tokyo to Osaka, which is about the distance from New York to, let's say, Charlotte, North Carolina, not quite that far south, and it'll only take an hour and a half. And people do commute back and forth from Tokyo to Osaka.
Oh, yes.
And
people live in Osaka and work in Tokyo and vice versa.
Yes. And it was a great thing. And, you know, they get the monthly passes or whatever. It's expensive as hell, but they used to do it. But the thing is, there comes a point where you cannot blame the drug dealer. You got to blame the drug addict. The drug addict got to take responsibility. And Americans are addicted to their cars.
Oh, yeah, especially the suburbanites.
Yeah, especially those in the south and the suburbs. And I've tried to break it down to people. Like, when I was living in Florida, and I don't have the most prestigious car. All I have is a Chrysler Cirrus. And it would literally cost me $700 a month to keep. And the car payment wasn't even the issue. The car payment was, within reason, $150. But then, you know, there's the monthly insurance rate and gas.
Right.
I used to spend like $100 a week on gas. You know, now since I relocated back to D.C., I spend, let's say, $35 a month and a week. Because I just drive a half a mile to my metro station, park, and I hop on the train.
There you go. And, you know, and it's nice having a vehicle, because when you want to do something like go shopping.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, there's only so much you can pack on a bus or a train, you know, and carry with you. But if you want to go shopping, a vehicle's happy to have. But you know what? I'm very happy to take the Brown Line into downtown, where I work every day. It just makes it a lot more efficient. And yeah, there are delays, and you get pissed off about it sometimes. But when you consider what, how, you know, the overall cost, and at least you know what your budget is for travel. I pay $20 for a week of unlimited train riding.
My commuting cost since I've relocated has been reduced by $750 a month. That was more than my mortgage.
But how do you get people to understand that? I guess, you know, oh, I got to have my pickup, you know, got to have the car.
Again, it comes to a point, you know, the crack addict has to hit rock bottom. You know, it's nothing you can tell them. The crack addict has to hit rock bottom. And there's going to come a point where people are going to have to be forced, and it may be years from now, but people are going to have to be forced into adjusting their lifestyle.
And some people, you almost literally have to put a gun to their heads. You have to do something that's so extreme that they realize that they don't have any choice otherwise.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things that I tell people, you know, that, and they're just people who are just, you know, again, the wannabes, like you said, who want to be part of the scam. I just can't be around all these people on the subway or the train, you know.
Right.
You know,
and you know what's interesting is there's an interesting difference between going on the train in Atlanta and going on the CTA here, in that in Atlanta it's almost always black people on the train. I mean, that's almost because the white people will not get on the train.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, they call it moving Africans rapidly through Atlanta for MARTA.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about. Well, it's the same thing in the D.C. area, like especially the buses, because everything in the D.C. is, regardless of race, you have to get it downtown. And
right.
But like the.
Well, I'll say this: it's not true in Chicago.
Yeah.
In Chicago, you get everybody rides the train.
Yeah. But
I see businessmen, well dressed businessmen.
Oh, yeah.
I see homeless people. You know, you get the big mix here because it's in a very important, you know, part of moving around. And mostly because Chicago driving isn't so much the problem as it is parking.
Oh, yeah.
Parking,
well, that's the same
deal.
Thing in D.C. But in the suburbs where you get the buses to the trains, then you get the stereotype. It's only the Mexicans and migrants who take the buses to the train. And
right.
I used to, like when I was living here before I moved, I used to take the buses to get to the what they call the MARC train here, or the Metro. And they would say, you actually take a bus? I'm like, yeah, it's filled with Mexicans. And I'm like, they're not bothering me. You know, they're not even talking to me. They're talking to each other. And this was both by black and white. I guess that's progress in the South for you, you know.
Now the blacks are ragging on the Mexicans, right?
Well, both of them. Both, because I'll never forget when I drove through Georgia, Savannah, there was a news report where gangs of whites and blacks were getting on the Mexicans or anybody who looked Mexican.
Well, I think that's really kind of, you know, you like to say that it's you know, this is really bad, and it is really bad, but the truth of the matter is that's been happening all over in this country. You know, the Irish and the Italians, they went through that stuff. The only thing is that you know, black people, unlike the other ones, were basically forced immigrants.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I hate to say this, but a lot of them have kind of found, a lot of black people, especially politicians, have found their little niche, and they don't want to be taken out of it.
Exactly.
And they don't want to, you know, they don't want to go out and be part of anything else but their own little community. And then when some group comes along, like Mexicans, and starts taking the jobs that they're used to having, they get angry at them.
Well, that's the experience. You know, me being of Caribbean descent, I'm kind of caught in between being in the black community and knowing, but being in the Hispanic community, because we are that migrant group, you know, who, especially if you look at New York politics, it is divided up amongst ethnic lines.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where you have, like in New York City, the West Indian community has taken over African American politics, and, you know, we voted out a congressman, especially in the area that I grew up in, his name was Major Owens. You know, the actor Jeffrey Owens' father, we voted him out because totally antagonized the West Indian community of his district, and we put in one of our own. And that was pretty much who's representing us in Washington, and that's what happened. You know, he was so out of touch, you know, with the changes in New York.
And it's no different here in Chicago. You know, you've got your different sections, and here we have aldermen and not city councilmen, which is a word I'm not used to hearing.
Yeah.
So, listen, I hate to cut you off, but we got to go to a final break.
Okay. Have a good one.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Kevin. Once again, Kevin from Washington D.C. Always glad to hear from one of our regulars, and of course, I always like to hear from new people too. If you've never called into the show, give me a call, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4 head on. It's our last break here, Puffy Yami Yumi break, at the Cup of Joe Show. We'll be back with more on the Head On Radio Network.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the Graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, and I am the voice of the working man's thinking man. And we've been talking a lot about transportation in specific, but also just in general about attitudes of people towards public transportation and anything away from vehicles. And our good friend Kevin from Washington, D.C. was just on talking about that and how they deal with it. And there is a really, in certain areas of the country, especially when you get to the south, and any time we get out into the suburbs, there's really a very kind of anti-public transportation feeling around these people. And there's a lot of attitude where if you can't afford to earn a car, then you deserve one. And a lot of our culture, a lot of American culture, has been built around the reality of cheap gas, which had been the reality for many, many years. But now that gas is getting up to unbelievable sums, actually back to the type of money that the Europeans and the Japanese have been used to paying for quite some time. Because, you know, I was in Japan, too. I was in Japan in 85 and 86, and the Japanese were paying roughly $4 a gallon back then. Now, they bought it by the liter, but the reason why they could do that was because their cars were much more energy efficient. They only used them for certain things, and they relied much more on rail transportation than anywhere else. I didn't ride any of the Shinkansen, the bullet trains, but I did ride the local rails when I was in Misawa, and sometimes I wanted to go to Aomori. And actually, it would be cheaper for the train trip from Misawa to Aomori than it was for the taxi ride if I wanted to take a taxi from the base to the train station. And that's a big difference there. And because, of course, they put a great emphasis on rail travel in Europe and in Japan and in other places. Sometimes the service is good, sometimes it's not. The French excel at it. They have built as I mentioned earlier, they have built the fastest non-maglev train in the world. It's 357 miles an hour, and that's pretty damn fast. Hang on a second. And somebody in the chat room pointed out that it's roughly 900 miles Chicago to New York. So if you had a high-speed train like that, you can make a trip from New York to Chicago in roughly 3 hours. And that's not a bad little trip, you know? And with the maglev, you can go even faster. And that would be really, really nice to do that. It's much safer. You know, you cannot fly a plane, you cannot fly a train into a building. You know, it's much safer that way. And Amtrak is really hurting for a lot of reasons. One is that you have a Republican Party, as always, who hates the idea of any kind of government anything. As our good friend Ray Hinckley has said, and our good friend Sarge has said about the veterans down south. You know, people get mad at the veterans for getting free health care. They're like, oh, you got your free health care, so what are you complaining about? And that's just the mindset. And that's what we have to fight. More than anything else, that's what we have to fight in this country. That mindset. And I was reading a thing about, you know, baggage getting lost on the airplanes now. It's gotten a lot worse over the last few years. And now we're seeing a lot more people stranded, you know, with bad weather conditions. I'm not even going to talk about whether or not those conditions were caused by global warming, but the point of the matter is that we've relied too much on auto and on plane travel. And with Amtrak, what they need to do is they need to get people in government who believe in it. And first of all, they need to start buying out the rails. They need to have a federal rail project like we had a federal highway project. That's what we need, among all the other things we need in this country. Because the building that type of infrastructure, A, means a lot of jobs for people. B, it means getting us away from gas and oil and thus making our foreign policy a little bit easier to deal with, because the bulk of our foreign policy has been protecting the oil that's made our culture possible. And it would be, no doubt, a boon for business as well, to a certain extent. Just as the Federal Highway Project was a huge boon for business. And no private organization would have gone on done it because it costs too much. That's one of the things that the federal government has to do. And it's one of those things that just drives the right wing crazy because they hate the very idea of government doing anything. But the big problem with Amtrak, especially if you get away from the East Coast, is that they don't own the rails that they ride on. They're owned by private industries, and they have to rent. And they have to rent these rails. And if there's a freight rail coming through, they have priority over the passenger rail. We need to stop thinking like that. And we have to get out of that, you know, if you don't own a car, you're useless mentality, because that use of oil, that use of gas is what's doomed this country, I believe. Because it's forced, you know, our policies to be the way they are. And we could have 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, we could have seriously started moving towards these policies, especially when the first gas crisis hit. And, of course, it really wasn't so much of a gas crisis as it was an excuse to raise the price of gas from 30 cents a gallon to like a dollar a gallon. And it stayed that way for a while until Mr. Bush got into office. It's gone up triple since he got into office. And what about the oil company's profits? Well, they've pretty much tripled. Gee, you tripled the price of gas and you tripled the oil company's profits. What a coinkydink. What a coinkydink. But of the many things, I mean, and the thing about it is that's not even step one. The first thing we have to do is fix our electoral process, get more people to vote, and get it so that the vote count is accurate. Get rid of these damn machines. And make sure we have an accurate vote so that the will of the people is reflected, and get people to understand their civic duty a little more and get out and vote, and to stop voting for idiots who are working against them. Then we have to fix the lobbying reform, and we have to get the lobbyists to basically stop being offering essentially the best bribe, which is what they're doing now. And we have to fix the way the primaries are concerned. Because I'm looking at this, they're moving all the primaries up, and I'm thinking, my God, nobody who doesn't have a ton of money can work in these primaries anymore. Americans are being denied the choice of potentially very good people because the system is geared towards who can raise the most money. And it's sickening. It's sickening. And if you want to tear down a country, you're going about it the right way. And, of course, with the Bush administration and the Republican leadership and their financial backers, they hate the very idea of America. They hate the very idea of the democratic process. They operate under the principle that the people who have the money should run the country. And who suffers because of that? We do. You don't have to believe me. Just ask the people who at Circuit City who are getting fired and being told they can reapply for their jobs in 10 weeks at a lower salary. You think it's going to stop there? Not in your life, pal. But what is going to stop is today's show, because we're running out of time here. Let me get my thanks out of the way. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of the Head On Radio Network, the great, wonderful, and lovely Agnes Kincaid, running the board out there in the studios in West Virginia, thanks to the miracle of the internets. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news of what's going on in the Mississippi Gulf Coast and in Louisiana. Jeff Allen Wolf is next on all of your head-on radio network stations. Until tomorrow, this is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe Radio Show saying, hey, hey, get back to work.
Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do. Retreat to the carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Sean.
glass of Chaz into a tub of Bob. I'll smoke a pack of Jack while I'm flat on my back. I'll eat a dish of Chris out of a bowl of Joel on a saucer of Tim. Or would you rather have him just fill me up with Fred? Feed me a fork of Frank and one more helping of Dick. Lay it on nice and thick. Open a can of Dan and make a meal of Sam. But don't give me no mutt, cause what I really want's a cup of Joe. Da-da-da-da-da.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
High-stakes face-off over ending Iraq war. Cheney says withdrawal date means Iraq defeat. U.S. sends troops back to Iraq to maintain surge. Reid co-sponsors bill to redeploy troops from Iraq and cut off funding for war. Kissinger says Iraq military victory not possible. Will Iran war start on Friday? Russian intelligence claims widely reported by media. Ex-aide says he's lost faith in Bush. Split court rules against Bush on greenhouse gases. A growing GOP problem in Ohio. Giuliani says ties to Kerik may hurt him with voters. Time Profile asserted that 9/11 gave Giuliani automatic standing on terrorism. Thousands suspected of Katrina fraud. Battle over habeas corpus returns. Judith Giuliani, her job with the pup killer firm. Three scenarios for 08. Prosecutor posts go to Bush insiders. CNN's impeachment reality check needs a fast check. Dems say more lawyers needed for Bush probes. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.